I think I told you once that there were physicists that did an experiment at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which I believe is connected with the University of Colorado in Boulder. What these physicists did is they wanted to find out if by simply observing something with willful intensity, they could change reality. These physicists managed to somehow isolate 5,000 beryllium atoms. Now, beryllium is number 3 on the atomic chart. Okay, it's a light element. They isolated them. How they did that is amazing in itself. And then they exposed these atoms to waves of energy in the radio wave frequency spectrum. Now, what these atoms were equivalent to were little tiny pots of water. And the radio waves were the equivalent to heat being applied to the pots. So under such circumstances, these little atoms absorb energy just like a pot of water would absorb heat from the fire. Nearly all 5,000 will reach their excited state goals, which means they've absorbed all they can, in a little over 250 milliseconds. That's about a quarter of a second. Now to check this, these physicists started to observe these atoms after about a quarter of a second. And the way they would do that is they would shine a pulse of laser light into the field of the atoms. Now, excited atoms do not absorb and immediately re-emit their laser energy. That is, when the laser light hits them, if they're excited, it doesn't seem to affect them very much if they're excited. Atoms that remain, however, unexcited, the ones that didn't absorb any energy, they are affected by the laser light, and the laser light gets scattered by the unexcited atoms. So in other words, by observing how much light gets scattered after shining the laser into the field of all the little particles, we can determine roughly how many atoms were excited. And we can also determine how many atoms weren't excited. In other words, we could turn on the heat for a quarter of a second and look in. Or we can turn on the heat for, say, an eighth of a second, that's half that time, or a 16th of a second, you know, any period of time, and look in and see, roughly speaking, how many got excited and how many weren't excited. Now, if they were all excited after a quarter of a second, which is what I told you what should happen, then when the laser light is turned on at that moment and a pulse of light goes through, none of it should get scattered. But if none of the atoms had absorbed any heat, if for some reason they were all cold, then there would be a lot of scattering. So what the physicists did is they looked. And indeed, after a quarter of a second, when they first looked in, there was a lot of scattering, indicated that all the atoms, practically all, 90%, whatever, were affected by the heat and scattered the laser light. So they decided to do this with diligence, with vigilance. They decided to look in more often. And so they began to look in not at a quarter second, they looked in after an eighth of a second, which means, well, what do you think it means? If they all get excited in a quarter of a second, how many will get excited in half that time? Well, roughly half of them will get excited. So they looked in again after an eighth of a second, and what they found indeed was about 50% of them were excited. But then they looked into that same field of gas molecules again after another eighth of a second, and you would expect then that the rest of them would have gotten excited, but that's not what happened. Only half of the rest of them got excited. In other words, roughly three quarters only got excited in the a quarter of a second when you looked in only two times. Looking in affected the atoms. So they decided, whoa, this is interesting. Let's look in really with like a fine-tooth comb. We're going to look in every 16th of a second, 32nd of a second, 64th of a second, 128th of a second. They're really going to look in, pulse it with laser light all the way along for a full quarter of a second. And what they found was kind of startling. What they found is that by looking in, none of the atoms got excited. Even though the heat was on, none of them absorbed any energy. In other words, just like your grandma told you, watched pots do not boil. In other words, if you're looking, observing well enough, you will affect the reality and you will keep things that normally would evolve a certain way from evolving in that way. What this lesson has to do with us and what it has to do with you as the reality creator is a reminder that by your vigilance, your ability to observe, and I mean not only the out there world, but yourself as well, as you practice a skill, as you learn to do new things, your ability to do that, as you do that, you can change the course of a natural evolution that would have taken place had you simply not been vigilant in your observations, had you simply not looked. This is the core idea of this whole series, all four of these sessions. This is really the core idea of what Dr. Quantum is presenting. You, the real creator. And here's how you do it. You do it by observing vigilantly. You make a practice of paying attention. It's your mind paying attention that can change the course of your own history to a history that you would never have thought could have taken place. Now, what does it mean to pay attention? Well, it means you got to have a kind of a goal in your mind as to what you're looking for. And as you begin to look for that goal, what happens is that things come into your field of vision, into your field of awareness, that are probable, but not actual, but become more probable as you sharpen your intent to look in that particular way of looking. There's a story in Arabic literature that has to do with a famous teacher of the Sufi way. I think his name is Nasruddin. And Nasruddin, one day, is found looking underneath a lamppost. And one of his followers comes up to Nasruddin and says, "What are you doing?" And Nasruddin says, "I'm looking for my keys. I lost them." He says, "Oh, well, can you tell me, you know, I'll help you. Where did you lose them?" He said, "Oh, I lost them over there." And Nasruddin points to a place way over in the darkness. And so the guy looks at Nasruddin, scratching his head. "Well, if you lost them over there, why are you looking over here?" And Nasruddin says, "Because the light's better here." Now that sounds silly, doesn't it? But that's what I'm telling you to do. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm telling you, forget about the darkness. Forget it, you know, forget about where you lost them. Keep your intent and your vigilance, and those keys are going to pop up under the light. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, you have the ability to make that happen because those keys are everywhere in the universe. They're not just under that. I mean, that's what the story is about. Story is the Sufi tale is a tale of the magic. I mean, people think, they laugh. They think it's the tale of Nasruddin being silly or being stupid. He ain't silly. He ain't stupid. These are really tales of wisdom. And the whole idea of this tale is to acquaint you with your power of observation of yourself and your intent. And by that power and that intent, you are bringing your soul into the picture. You are allowing the soul to bubble up into the picture. And that's what your intent is really doing. That's what it's all about.